waist-deep in icy water, Loggerlog wiped his eyes and gasped.
You're all right, mate. You're not bad injured, are you?
Oh, don't fuss now. I'll be all right when I cough up this mud, matey.
Gergan looked at Loggerlog.
Who said that?
Skipper of Otters staggered to the bank, grunting under the weight of a dead yellow eel whose coils were still wrapped tightly around his sodden frame. He collapsed on dry land.
I said that. Well, don't stand there getting wet and goggling. Lend a port to get this slimy animal off me, mate.
Loggerlog was never one to panic. He took the situation in his stride. Relieving Skipper of Tammo's dirk, he began prising the stiff coils apart, talking to the otter in a matter-of-fact way.
Ahoy, Skip. It's been a season or two since I clapped eyes on you. So this is what you're wearing these days, a serpent fish. What's the matter? Ain't a tunic good enough for you anymore?
It was not often that the Abbey bells rang aloud once night had fallen, but Skipper's return proved the exception. Ginkgo the bell ringer swung on his bell rope, sending out a joyous clangor across the land until his paws were numbed and reverberations hummed through both his ears. The new arrivals were welcomed into Great Hall, while the heroic skipper was carried shoulder high by the hares and his otter crew down to Cavern Hole. He sat stoically as Sister Viola and Pelleth clean stitched and solved his wounds, answering the volley of questions, of which Tammo's was the first.
Did you bring my dirk back, Skip? How was it?
With some reluctance, the otter returned Tammo's weapon.
I tell you, matey, that piece of steel saved my life. 'Tis a blade to be proud of, and I'd give 10 seasons of me life to be the owner of such a fine thing.
The young hare polished his dirk hilt proudly before restoring it to his shoulder belt. Shad poured hot mint tea for his friend.
I'll wager that old sneakfish kept you busy, matey.
Skipper held his head to one side as the sister ministered to a muddied slash the eel's teeth had inflicted.
Aye, he did now. A real fighter, that beast was. A shame I had to slay it. The sneakfish was lost and angry. 'Twas only his nature to seek prey. Youch! Go easy, marm.
Sister Viola placed a herbal compress on the wound.
I'm sorry. There. That's done. It was extremely brave of you to act as you did, sir. Little Slowey owes you her life. I don't often say this to fighting beasts, but it has been an honour to treat your injuries.
Captain Swayblade pounded the table enthusiastically.
Well said, ma'am. We can't afford to lose a beast as perilous as the skipper. I propose you make him an honorary member of the Long Patrol, eh? What do you say, Major?
Amid the roars of approval, Abbess Tansy entered. Smiling through her tears, she clasped the otter's paw affectionately.
So, you old rogue, you came back to us.
Skipper stood slowly, flexing his brawny limbs experimentally.
Of course I did, Abbess Marm. And I'll thank you next time I'm gone that you don't cancel the feast in my absence. Begging your pardon, but you didn't finish all the utroop soup, did you?
Shaking with laughter, Rockjaw Grang strode off to the kitchens, saying over his shoulder,
Sithy river dog, sithy there, I'll fetch you the old blooming pot if you've a mind to stop it.
Gergan Spearbach peeped around the door of the spare dormitory where the young water hogs had been billeted.
Ho, ho, there thee be, fed and washed and snoring respectfully. My thanks to thee, good beasts.
Mother Buskall shuffled out carrying a lantern, followed by Cracklin, who was holding a paw to her lips.
Hush now, sir. We've just got the little uns to sleep.
Gergan carried the lantern for them as they went downstairs.
Thy abbey be full of babes, dibbins, my water hogs, 3 little owls, even a badger babe. How came you by him?
Cracklin kept firm hold of Mother Buskall's paw as she negotiated the spiralling steps.
That's our little Rosano. He's very special to us.
Loggerlog interrupted them as they entered Great Hall.
Council awards to be held in Cavern Hall straight away.